Let us pray. Loving God, thank you for this day. Thank you for these people, and thank you for your presence in the midst of us. God, I also thank you for these words that you have given me to share. And God, as I share them, may there be more of you in them and less of me. I pray all that in Jesus' name. Amen. So like I've already said and reminded you, last Sunday morning around 11:30 a.m., there was another mass shooting in our country. This time, the violence occurred inside of a sanctuary and took the lives of half of the people who were there to worship God that day. Not unlike most of you, I'm sure, I could not stop thinking about that tragedy last week. But hear me say this, it's not because it happened in a church this time. It's not because it happened to a group of Christians this time. It's because it happened again. So last Sunday, just 35 days after a violent act took the lives of 59 people in Las Vegas, another violent act took the lives of 27 more in Sutherland Springs, Texas. God made it very clear to me last week that while generous living is where he led us to focus as a church this month, this week he knew that we needed to focus on hope when life feels hopeless and on light when the world seems so dark. And so that's how we planned this worship service. We hoped that the hymns and the prayers and the scripture and the sermon would help you to know that God is still God today. Amen? Amen? That God is still God, even in the wake of such evil, so much evil and loss, God is still God and God is still good. And because of that, there is and there always will be hope for us, for humanity. I have to assume that when you heard the news about what happened in that little church, you found ways to hold those closest to you just a little closer. I know that was the case for me. Megan and Jamie and Josie and Jenna got held closer and tighter last week. I always love being with my family, but last Sunday, the time we spent together was even more precious than it usually is. And I thought of each of them last week when thoughts of First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs, Texas came to mind. I also thought about someone else quite a bit. I have a little buddy. His name is RJ. I had a picture that I wanted to share with you on the screen, but that didn't work out today. RJ is the 3-year-old son of Christine, who is a good friend of Jamie's, and over the last couple of years, I've grown very attached to RJ, and I think vice versa. We're pretty good buddies, RJ and I. I didn't really know why, but I thought of RJ and his little sister Gigi and their parents Bob and Christine quite a bit last week. I guess as I tried to process what happened, I thought of RJ's family because they feel like family to us. And I pictured Bob and Christine doing what parents of toddlers do to keep their kids occupied and as quiet as possible during worship. Which, by the way, just if I might, if there were kids in here during that prayer time, bravo parents. Because I didn't hear a peep. Y'all did a good job. But anyway, I pictured Bob and Christine occupied, keeping their kids quiet during worship or as they prepared for worship like parents of young kids do. And then I kept thinking about what happened in that sanctuary in that little town in Texas. It was one of those awful thoughts that you just can't stop thinking. Do you know those? You don't want to think them, but you just can't help it. Whole families were murdered while they sat in pews trying to quiet their kids and prepare themselves to worship God. And for some reason, one of the thoughts that I could not shake last week was of RJ's family. Another of those thoughts was of all of you sitting here in these pews. As I thought of you, I started to realize how devastating it would be for half of our congregation to be taken from us while we sit here together worshiping God. I tried to understand that pain, but I very clearly cannot do that. I cannot understand what that church is feeling today or what they felt that day, but I know it must be awful. I know it must be awful. It must be, it was a terrible and a tragic act of senseless violence that took those lives, and everyone left grieving those losses. They have massive holes in their hearts because of it. The United Methodist bishop of that area of Texas, his name is Robert Schnazy. He said it well in a statement he made after the attack. He said, "Each death by violence diminishes each one of us. Each death by violence diminishes each one of us." I believe that that is as true as it can be. And it is especially true for the family and the friends and the fellow churchgoers of the victims of this act of violence. They are diminished by it, but so are we, aren't we? So are we. Obviously, I thought of RJ last week because when something so awful happens, we just think about the people that we love, right? We just think of the people we love. We think, what if it had happened to my loved ones? Or what if that had happened in their church building, to their church family? And what if theirs was one of the family pictures that we keep seeing broadcast on the news stations? But there was also another reason I kept thinking of RJ. You see, whenever RJ gets bored or just doesn't know what to say, he simply looks at you and says, "I don't know. I don't know." And I can picture him, and I pictured him so much last week, looking up at me like he does all the time and saying, "Jim, I don't know." Well, that's the general feeling, isn't it? That's the general feeling in the wake of things like this. We want to know, right? We want to know why. We want answers, and we want to blame someone. Actually, we want to blame all kinds of people, and I'm sure that every single one of us have been doing that work this week. The more, the better, right? We want somewhere and someone to place the blame on. We want to know why it happened. We want to know why we feel like this. We want answers, don't we? We don't want to say, "I don't know." We want answers. We want to know why we feel like this. And yet we don't get to, do we? We don't get to. At least we don't get enough answers to make us feel very much better. And so I thought of RJ last week, and it helped me to recall his cute little innocent face looking up to me and with his cute little innocent voice saying, "Jim, I don't know." If you're anything like me, though, when these things happen, when acts of violence take innocent lives, when people who suffer with untreated or undiagnosed mental illness and allow violence to be their response, when things like this happen, we just feel bad inside, right? We just feel bad inside. It just feels bad to know and to remember and to reflect on what happened and on the people who lost so much during those few moments last Sunday. And we want to know why, and we want to feel better, and we want to feel hope, don't we? But I have to tell you something this morning. I get to tell you something this morning that so much of the world and so much of us, so many of us already know, but that we forget so easily sometimes. It was for this that Jesus was born. It was for this that Jesus was born, right? In just a few short weeks, we'll begin to celebrate his coming with familiar songs and great smells and pretty decorations and chestnut praline lattes at Starbucks. And all of those things are great, and they make the season so much better for me too. But Jesus was not born for that. Jesus was born for this. Jesus was born for this, for this feeling that we are feeling, for this darkness that we are experiencing right now. He was born to offer hope to a world that feels hopeless sometimes. He was born to show us the amazing love and grace and mercy and hope that we can have because our God is so good. Amen? That's why Jesus was born. That's why he was born, so that we could have hope even when something like this happens. Archbishop Desmond Tutu once said, "Hope is being able to see that there is light despite all of the darkness." Hope is being able to see that there is light despite all of the darkness. Listen, that light in the darkness, that hope that he speaks of, is Jesus and his love and his promises and his grace and his mercy and his presence, even in the middle of awful, sad times and experiences like this one. Jesus is our hope when the world around us falls apart. Jesus is our hope when we're scared because things like this keep happening all around us. Jesus is our hope when so much about our world seems hopeless. And that is why he was born. That's why he came in the first place, because this world full of evil and full of violence and full of death and full of sadness needed hope. We needed hope, and so he was born. And so this morning I pray that you would let him be that hope for you. Let him be that hope for you. That's why he came. It wasn't so that we could have a reason to spend a month listening to great music and decorating our houses. It was so that when we feel hopeless, we can look to him and find hope. Amen? Real hope. The psalm that we heard this morning can speak hope into scary times like this one too, and help us remember that God is our refuge. He is our safe place and our hope when the world around us seems to be or is falling apart. When nothing seems to make sense in the world, like now, in the wake of such violence and the loss of life, God is still our hope. Amen? And Psalm 46 can help us to feel that. He is still our refuge. He is still God, even now. Amen? This psalm is so important in times like these. The psalmist recognized that the world was in shambles, right? Do you recognize that?
Yes.
The psalmist recognized it. That the world was in shambles. Things were not as they should be. Life was scary and dark and hopeless. But then, in the midst of all of that, the psalmist wrote, "God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult." The psalmist set the stage, right, by poetically explaining the struggle, by poetically explaining the struggle and the pain and the fear that was all around him in the world. Things were bad, right? You can imagine how bad things were for him to have written this psalm, and people were struggling. Well, people are struggling today too, aren't they? People are struggling now. We are in a bad place now, too, as we try to make sense of what has happened and what keeps on happening. The psalmist helps us, though, through the hope-filled words he prayed then. He said, "God is in the midst of the city. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Be still." Look, the world around you is falling apart, but God is here. So be still and know that I am God. He is still God. He is still our refuge. He is still hope when we feel hopeless. He is still light in the darkness. He is still God even now, even when we are sad and confused and angry and we just don't understand why there has to be so much pain and suffering in the world. Even then, even now, God is still with us and He is still our hope, our refuge. And He says to us today through the psalmist, be still and know that I am God. Listen, we are never going to have all of the answers in times like this one. We'll always need to allow ourselves to do that thing that my buddy RJ does and just admit that we just don't know. We just don't know. I'm sad to say that things like this are going to keep happening in our broken world. They've been happening for a long, long time, right? This isn't new. Brokenness in our world is not new. I hope we will fight against the urge to let these things become normal, though. I hope we'll never stop being surprised and sad and affected by them. I also hope we'll never stop finding ways to stand up against them. Please don't hear this sermon as me saying, sit down and do nothing. There's plenty to do. But before you do those things that you feel called to do, know that God is still here. And there's hope in Him. There's hope because of Him. This morning, in the wake of this last terrible act of violence that claimed 27 lives, I just want to remind you of that God is still our refuge. He's still our hope. He is still our ever-present help in times of trouble. He grieves with us. God grieves with us. I'm sure of that. And He is here with us, and He wants to help us get through the pain and the confusion and the anger and come out on the other end of it, wherever and whenever that is, still hope-filled, and still able to see His light despite all of the darkness around us. And I believe with my whole heart that He's saying to you and to me and to all of us this day, be still and know that I am still God. Let's pray together. God of grace and mercy, we thank You for the psalmist. We thank You for the reminder that You are in this with us. God, even though the world feels like it is in shambles, even though the world feels hopeless and dark, You are with us, and You are our refuge, and You are our strength, and You are our ever-present help in times of trouble. And God, we thank You for that. We pray all this in the precious name of Christ our Savior. Amen.